Okay, welcome back to the Das Tfila Chabura. It is June 30th, and we are up to Hora'ah Chamishit, the fifth explanation of how the root of Tfila, what exactly Tfila means, and how we can use that to help our Tfila. I did not have a chance today to make a copy of the actual Sefer. There is a copy of the Sefer Das Tfila on HebrewBooks.org. But it's a somewhat corrupted version. It copied very strange. So hopefully the words will be right. The things that you see on the screen that are enlarged are not necessarily enlarged for a reason. Maybe they are, I don't know. But let's see how they look in the real book. Oh, I guess they're the words that are bolded. I guess are large on the screen now. Okay, something strange happened when they tried to feed this into the computer, but let's see what he says here. Okay, this is the fifth explanation out of eight in the introduction to the Sefer. Just before we start, I'll remind you this to you at the beginning of this year and at the end of this year, we will, please God, continue this year next week. However, we will be on a different Zoom link. Because my shiur is going to be included in a large number of shiurim that are being publicized under a different banner starting next week for the summer. So just keep your eyes out for that new Zoom link for next week's shiur, same time, same place. Okay. Hora'ah chamishit tefila is machshava. Shekasher tizbonen b'lashon tefila, hu milashon palal. We've said this, that the root of the word tefila, I know that some of you may not like Hebrew grammar, but the word in Hebrew, the word for tefillah, is from the root pei lamed lamed, which really means to judge. Ukedichsiv vayamod pinchas vayefalel. Sorry if some of the words did not work here, but trust me, this is the way it's supposed to say. Vayamod pinchas vayefalel, right? The pasuk says Pinchas got up and he judged. How did he judge? He killed somebody. Right, he killed Zimri. So v'lashon palal k'moshe perish Rashi, but the lashon palal doesn't exactly just mean to judge, or let's just say, it speaks to the root, as we'll see, of what judgment is all about. The pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu, "Reos panecha lo filalti." I never thought I would see your face again. That's what Yaakov says upon meeting Yosef after all the years and finding out that he is the viceroy of Egypt. He never thought he'd see him at all. He starts by saying, I never thought I would see your face again. Lo filalti. So it doesn't exactly mean that to see your face I never judged. Shehu lashon machshava. It's the language of thought. I never thought that I would see you, that I would see your face again. Right? Ukamo, as the pasuk also says in Yishayahu, heviu etza, bring a suggestion, asu falila, and make a, bring a thought. Right? Ukamo kein tirgem unkelus, and so too unkelus translated the pasuk before from Bracious. Lemechzi anpecha, to see your face, lo savrit, like a svara. Svara is a thought, is a way of looking at something. To see your face, I never thought it would happen. And then he writes, the nikru'u hadayanim pililim, mipnei shehu shofet b'machashavto. Why is a judge called a palel? Why is that word mean to judge? Because when you judge, you truly have to decide between two things. In the footnotes on the Maharal, this is all the thought of the Maharal in the Baragola. So Rabbi Hartman, in his footnotes to Maharal, asks, well, you have to think before you do anything. Everything comes from the mind. But there are things that come more naturally, and there are things that require that you sit and really think it out. That is the essence of tefillah. The word tefillah, the word palal, means to think out something, to think straight. V'zehu lashon tefillin. And this is why the same word. We call the phylacteries, we call them tefillin. Miloshon machshava is also because it's about thought. Shatfillin heim la'osu l'zikaron beninecha. It's in order that you should remember, you should be aware of God. V'azikaron hu b'machshava. And again, you remember things is on your head and in your head. Right? And that's why the tefillin shel rosh. He explains there that tefillin shel yad is a different purpose. The tefillin shel yad is to attach yourself to God. Tefillin shel yad is about the heart. And that's why it faces the heart. And the tefillin shel yad, we wrap. We wrap ourselves in the tefillin shel. We don't wrap ourselves in the tefillin shel rosh. We just put it on. We put it on. So the tefillin shel rosh is about thought, is about thinking about God. The root of tefillah is from the language of thinking. And not only even thinking, but desiring. Desiring. The actual subject of that piece in the Maharal wrote it in the Sefer Be'er HaGola. Be'er HaGola. What is the Rambam Sefer Be'er HaGola about? The Rambam Sefer Be'er HaGola is trying to explain the depth of rabbinic thought. And sometimes the rabbis say things that seem very strange. We're talking about stories in the Talmud, exaggerations in the Talmud. There are all these very strange things that appear in what we call agadic texts, not halachic texts, but these stories, midrashim. And the Maharal says they're very, very deep. They're coming to teach us very, very deep ideas. And every detail is there to teach us a different deep concept. So the Maharal asks, the Gemara speaks in several places about God praying. And he writes, people laugh at this, because if we believe in one God, then who's he praying to? What do you mean God prays? It doesn't make any sense. Who could he be talking to? God's the one that you pray to. So what does it mean God prays? So it's there that he develops this whole concept that to pray means to think about what you want. It means to crystallize what you want and to think straight. And that's what it means that God prays. God expresses what he wants. He could do it anyway, but he wants us to do it sometimes. He doesn't want to always do it for us. But he expresses a thought. When we say that God prays, doesn't mean he's asking himself to do something. It means that he's expressing a desire. It's a very interesting piece in Rabbi Nachman's writings that we are what we not eat, but we are what we want. We are what we want. The things that we desire say more about us than anything else. It's a very interesting way of thinking about it. The things that we desire, the things that we pray for, when we pray, we express, we think about what's important, we think about what we want. And more than what we are, because what we are could be a result of mistakes we've made, could be a result of circumstances, could be a result of the place and time we were born into, could be a result of other people's, what they've done to us. What can't be controlled is what I desire. What I desire, says Rabbi Nachman, speaks more to what I am than anything else. Because everything else could be a fault of something out of my control or a past mistake that I made that doesn't represent who I am now. What I want, what I think about, that's free. That says who I am. And says the Maharal, that's what we mean, again in explaining that God prays. That's what we mean that we wear tefillin from the word tefillah. That's what it means that a judge is called pililim. Because all of these things involved discerning and thinking. Yeshno kan, we keep reading in the next paragraph, Yeshno kan bitui lemahut avodas hatfila. We have here an expression, a bitui, for what it means to work at davening. There's work involved in davening. And now he quotes a piece from one of my favorite svarim, the Beit Elokim. The Beit Elokim is a fascinating book by the Mabit. The Mabit is Rabbi Yoshua of Trani. Trani's a place in Italy. And he wrote a sefer called the Beit Elokim. Avoda lelo pu'ulas kleaguf. What does it mean that tefillah is the work of the heart? The work of the heart. It doesn't mean the heart muscle. It means that tefillah is work that we do, but it's primarily thought work. It's primarily feelings work. It's not primarily physical work. Hatfilah, says the Mabit, ain't a mitzvah ma'asit. It's not a physical mitzvah. It's not something we're supposed to do. And the fact is, you might think it is, because, I don't know, Rabbi, I don't know how to daven. Come. You bow, you do this, you read the words, you're doing a lot of actions when you're davening. But that's not the mitzvah of tefillah, he says. V'lachein tzarich l'chavein ba. That's why you have to have kavana. Ki ikara hi kavana salev. The mitzvah is to think something. When it comes to other mitzvos, the mitzvah is to do something. And it's good if you're also thinking about what you're doing. You should have kavana. Your head should be, when you're taking a lulav and an esrog, you should be thinking about it. When you're doing chesed, you should be focused on it. But the action is the mitzvah. But when it comes to tefillah, the action is not the mitzvah. It's the kavana salev. And that's why you have to have kavana when you daven. If you don't have kavana, you didn't do the mitzvah at all. It's not that you didn't do it well. The point of tefillah is to think about certain things. V'hakasuv tala osa bekavana ubedibur kidichsiv ulaovdo b'chol avavchem ezahi avoda shehi belev zu tefillah. The avoda of the heart, it's interesting, the pasuk says you have to serve God with your heart. Doesn't say how you do it. But the Sifri, the Medrash, says that the way you serve God with your heart is through tefillah, but it's the heart. V'nikrei savoda sheyesh ba eze maisa. It's called an avoda. The word avoda implies some kind of work, some kind of action. Why is it called an avoda? Because it does have some thing you have to do. V'hi akima svaso b'tefillah. You got to move your lips. You got to say something. Aval ha'ikar hi hakavan. Usually when you have a mitzvah, so the mitzvah is to do it with my arm, with my body. And in addition, I should be thinking. I should add another level that I'm thinking about. No. When it comes to tefillah, the ikar is to think. It's a lot easier to concentrate if I say the words, if I move my lips. And that's the way God mandated that we do it. You can't just think in your head. Certainly if you have the ability to speak, you can't just think it in your head. But don't mistake, davening is not talking. Davening is thinking. It's just that to concretize my thought, I have to say it out loud. So says the Beit Elokim. And that says Rav Avitzedek, that is Rav Rakovsky, that is what the word tefillah means, is to think. Dveikus hamachshava, avoda hizu. To really think, to concentrate. Avodas chayim. Avodas chayim means it's a work in progress. It's something that requires, it's not something you do in 1 minute. It's a lifelong work. Kefi shekol bar chochma mevin zos mitato. Anybody who's intelligent understands that to train yourself to think, to concentrate, takes a lifetime. V'kach madrich haRambam es talmido ba'avodazu, and so the Rambam explains, drives his student, as he says the following. Umikan aschil, okay, lihi ashrecha, I will begin to put you on the path, el tchunas hahergel v'halimud, of repetition and study, until you can get to the point where you can actually concentrate. Concentration takes a lot of work. To be focused on something takes a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. I don't just walk into my first Shmona Esrei and suddenly have concentration. Techilas ma shetatchilasot. What should you do first? If you want to learn to concentrate, if you want to learn to think about God, shetifne machshavoscho mikol dovar kishetikra kriyashva v'titpalo. It all comes down. People complain that I talk only about the Shmona Esrei and a little bit about the Shema. I don't talk about anything else. I don't talk about Psukei Dezimra. I don't talk about Brachos. A little bit as it comes up in a different context. The Rambam says that the focus of when to focus is Shema and Shmona Esrei. Not every prayer was created equal. Not every prayer was created equal. Shema and Shmona Esrei. The Rambam says you want to start connecting yourself to God. Start by pushing away everything else during Shema and during Shmona Esrei. V'lo yaspik lecha min hakavana b'kriya Shema b'pasuk rishon u'b'tfilu b'birkas rishon, bracha rishon. And don't suffice to just have kavana in the first pasuk of Shema or the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei. The reality is there are differences. That is the most important time to focus on the first pasuk, the first sentence of Shema, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. But he says, don't do that, or I'll add, don't do that. Don't let it stay there. First, try to have kavana. It's so hard. Just on the first pasuk of Shema and the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei. And once we've mastered that, we move to the rest. We move to the rest of Shema and Shmona Esrei. Ukishetargil al zeh, when you get good at that, V'yischazek biyodcha shanim rabot. When you've done that for many years, then achar kach kol asher batorah v'tishmana shetasim kol levavcha v'chol machshavoscha lavim hashtishma. Then expand it to, interestingly, Torah. When you hear Torah, try to focus on your studies. When you're in a shir, try to focus on what it is. When you're listening to the laning, you should do that. You should try to focus on the Torah. And then he keeps going through and he says till you get to a point where you could focus on God all the time. But it starts at Shema and Shmona Esrei. The mitzvah of Shmona Esrei we'll focus on for now. The mitzvah of tefillah is to think. Mishtayeches hi ha'avodazu befrat le'inyan ha'tfila. This idea, even though we should always have attention, we should always be thinking about what we're doing, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of tfila. As it says in Chazal, ula ovdo b'chol levavchem, to serve God with all your heart, hareze kivun tfila, that's having concentrating direction in our tfila, shelo yehe libo shel adam chaluk b'sha'asa tfila. That my heart shouldn't be split. I'm saying this word, and I am thinking about this thought. What is central to us getting kavana during tefillah? The reality is it's very, very difficult for us to clear our minds. It's very, very difficult. If I would ask you to go through an exercise now and to close your eyes and not to think about anything, there are people who can do that after many years of training. But for the most part, when we try to take our minds off of everything else, we need to put it on something. We need to direct it. The only way that we can really clear our minds is not to create a black screen. We can't create a black screen. Try it sometime. I was at a seminar recently. We went through this. You can't create a black screen in your mind. It lasts for a millisecond. Till something pops into your head. The only way that we can block out other things, have our machshava on the tefillah, is to concentrate on the tefillah itself. And then that doesn't leave room for me to think about a million other things. One of the things that we can use for this are the simple words of tefillah. I'm not saying it's easy. But if we can actually think about the words that we're saying as we're saying them, it actually serves to block out everything else. Problem is, sometimes we're like three quarters of the way through the Shmona Esrei, we haven't even started to think about anything. But the words themselves can serve to focus us. When a person is meditating, they try to think about something and keep that idea in their head, because you can't have a blank screen, a black screen. You have to think about something. What if we could relax and just think about the words of the Shemoneh Esrei? The simple, simple shot of the words of Shemoneh Esrei takes our mind off of everything else. We can't seriously be thinking about the Shemoneh Esrei and be thinking about other things at the same time. One of the problems that we have is that we see the words of Shemoneh Esrei as this burden that we have to get through. Oh my God, this is so much. And instead of looking at it as a mantra to help us meditate. Now, one of the things that makes Shemoneh Esrei not so exciting is that it's the same every day. But if we think about meditation, then it's going to be words that we're pretty familiar with that we're going to want to be reciting so that we can focus on them. The fact that we could learn the Shemoneh Esrei by heart is helpful. It means we can close our eyes. It means we can think about those words. But what if we just thought about those words? Reb Chaim Volozhiner, which we'll see at the end of the shiur now in a moment, Chaim Volozhiner says you don't even have to be focused on the meaning of the words. Chaim Volozhiner says just be focused on the words. Before you say a word of Shemoneh Esrei, conjure up that word in your head. Baruch. Bring up the word Atah. You can't think about anything else if you're working so hard to do that. It doesn't work. Okay. Good. Now let's go to the last piece. This is a little difficult, but we'll try to get through the last idea here. Ba'imanu la'amod al shorash ha'inyan. When he says that, you know you're going to get something really deep. Okay, ba'im anu la'amod al shorash ha'inyan. And now he quotes Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. U'machshova hi bechinas ha'neshama, shehi ha'malamedes la'adam deya ubina batora hakadosha. Machshova is found in our neshama. Now, for the purpose of this brief excursion into Kabbalah, we're going to use the word soul and not the word neshama. Our rabbis tell us, our Kabbalistic sources, the mystical sources tell us that there are five parts to our souls. There is the nefesh, the lowest part, which we share with animals in a certain way. Hello, Booker, in the picture there, we're talking about you. There's the nefesh behemis. Okay, there's the nefesh, which is the lowest one. There is, the next is ruach. The third is neshama. So the word neshama is used in our tradition colloquially just to mean the soul. But it actually refers to the third of five parts of the soul. We are most familiar with these terms, nefesh, ruach, neshama, naran, nefesh, ruach, neshama. And the reason why we're most familiar with those three parts of the soul is because, as Reb Chaim explains to us, the other parts of the soul are very, very, they're beyond us. They're very, very spiritual. They're very, very hard for us to relate to. I mentioned this before. The way Reb Chaim describes a soul, our souls are not in us. They're certainly not contained completely within our bodies. I always thought of a soul as something like Casper the Friendly Ghost, like you have this thing and it kind of looks like your body and then it separates from your body. Reb Chaim says no. Reb Chaim says what a soul is like an extension cord to Hashem. And it's plugged into my body. But it's not contained completely in my body. One end is plugged into my body. The other end goes all the way up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because my soul is really a part, a chelek eloka mimal. And then it comes down into this world. When a person dies, it's simply unplugged. It's not that it leaves the body. It's unplugged from the body. how much of the extension cord is in my body? And again, when we say in, we have to be careful how we say it, because we're not speaking of a physical in. We're talking about shayach to my body, connects to my body, and not in a tangible kind of a way, not just connects to my body above my body. But imagine that certain parts of my soul are shayach to my physical being, and certain parts are hanging above my head, so to speak. How much of the extension cord is inside, so to speak, my body? And how much of the extension cord is outside of my body? Well, it depends how spiritual my body is and my existence is. Each of the five levels of the soul actually consists of different levels within itself. So as you move up within a particular soul, it gets more and more spiritual until you go to the next level, until you go to the next level. The more spiritual I am, the more spiritual parts of my soul can have shaychus to my body. So it could be that very little of my soul can really be shaykh to my body. Just a little bit. I'm alive. I have life. I have something. But most of my soul is, so to speak, beyond me. If I become more spiritual, then more of that extension cord can be inside of me. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have the bottom three parts of his soul shayach to his body, and a little bit even of the fourth. That's the closest, that's the most that the extension cord has ever been lowered down into a human. For most of us, we struggle. We struggle. We have times in our life where we have more of that extension cord in us, and times of life where, unfortunately, we have less. It needs to be unraveled a little bit and be beyond us. The bottom three parts of the soul, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, correspond, says Reb Chaim, to action, speech, and thought. If I'm able to have actions and my actions have shaychus to God, or at least they're not opposed to God so much as if they need, my soul needs to be cut off, so that's in part of my body. If I can perfect my speech, then more of my soul can be shayach to my body. And if I can perfect my thought, then even the neshama will feel comfortable to be part. Where are these things located? Where are sort of these different plugs? So the Reb Chaim says that the liver is the seat of my nefesh, the lowest part of the soul. The heart is the seat of the second part of my soul. And the mind, the brain, and obviously this is moving up, is theoretically the seat of the third part of my soul. But my soul can only bring itself down into my body if I am spiritual enough for it to feel comfortable. So again, says Reb Chaim, "Umachshava hi bechinas haneshama shehi amalamedes laadam." Machshava is the neshama, comes from the neshama, the third and middle part of our soul, which teaches us how to understand everything, but especially the Torah. V'lachein ikar mishkana hu b'moach, and that's why the main place in the body that we speak of that soul connecting to is the mind. Klea machshava. That's the top of all of the parts of the neshama, of the soul, that are really shayach to my body. Hamachshava hi olama shel haneshama hatahora. The mind, the thought, is the resting place, is the home for my neshama, which is the highest part of my soul that I can really connect to. Shenitna ba'adam. Nikia hi af mi gargir katan shel chomer. Then already once you're getting to the neshama part of my soul, you're talking about a very holy and godly part of my soul. Avodas hamachshava b'tfila, the thought that goes into tfila, the work of clearing my thoughts, of taking away the physical, of taking away the desires from my thoughts, ma'ale umromemes hi es ha'adam, it lifts up a person, la'olama shel neshama, that they should be at the level of that neshama, that their physical body should be at the same level as their neshama, which is a very spiritual part of my soul. Avodas ha'mispalel hi lehidabek b'machsheves ha'tfilah ulisnase l'marachazu, shigavoa shekshir komaso, and the work of tefillah is to raise all of my machshava up to that place. So to conclude, the avoda of tefillah is not simply something that primarily goes on in my mind. But the purpose of tefillah is to clear my mind and to get my mind to be thinking about the right things. It's not simply that tefillah is not just the words that I say. That's for sure it's not just the words that I say. It's what I'm thinking. But the goal isn't just to have a good davening. The goal is to learn to control my thoughts, is to learn to be the master over my machshava. If I can be the master of my machshava, then I can allow very holy parts of my soul to be connected to my body. And at the moment when I'm in davening, I am bringing down that extension cord. Okay, so at the same time as I can imagine when I'm davening as if I'm connecting to something very high, the reality is I'm always connected to that thing. I'm always connected. The extension cord is always going. As long as I'm alive, the extension cord is plugged in. I'm not suddenly connecting. What's happening when I'm davening is that extension cord and the parts of my soul are actually being lowered into my body. When else do we speak of having a lot of soul? On Shabbos. On Shabbos, we speak of having an extra soul. Wasn't we have an extra soul on Shabbos? On the simplest level, what it means is that on Shabbos, we're in a more spiritual state. Even as we eat and drink and enjoy, but we're doing it l'shem shemayim, on Shabbos, we're in a more spiritual state, so my soul feels more comfortable in my body. That's what it means. That's the simplest way to understand that I have an extra soul now. It doesn't mean I have an extra soul. It means that more of my soul, more of the extension cord, is now comfortable in my body. When the week goes, like one of those things that snap on the end of a vacuum, you step on the thing and boom, the thing starts here. Hopefully it doesn't get pulled out all the way. If it pulled out all the way, I'm in a lot of trouble. But it starts pulling back, and I go back into the week, and that shock is why I need the besamim. I need the besamim because something was just part of my life force was removed. I had extra life force for that 24 hours, 25 hours, and now I have to go back to my weekday state of being where my soul is hovering there, but a lot of it can't really connect to the body. Deep thoughts this week. Once again, a reminder, next week, same times, not same place. We'll do a different Zoom link. I'll send out on the different tefillah groups. I also encourage you to take advantage of the other 25 shiurim that are on this list. You, Shai, and Tareem.